my son heard me tell the principal that I'm a poor single father. My son was probably 11, 12 years old, about to go into adolescence, but he's starting to come into the knowing of kind of life.
Consciousness, yeah.
Poor? This generation of kids hearing that they're poor? We stand in a one-bedroom apartment, me, him, and his sister. I'm sleeping on the floor, the sister in the bed, he on the couch. I'm getting food stamps and disability. And I'm driving a Good Times van that my son was ashamed to get dropped off in school in. So I'm in here talking to this principal, really wanting to cry, man, because I'm financially messed up. But she heard me, man, my son, when we got to the car, my son looked at me and said, "Dad, are we really poor?" Tears in his eye. I couldn't even look at it. But I made myself look at it. And I said, "Yeah, mijo."
Controversy. Love. Hate. Extremism. And kids. How do we balance all this? Well, my friend Charleston White has his own battles. He has his own ideas. But here he shares something extremely human and honest. And we talk about kids and our plight to help kids and mentor kids and stop the reciprocity of gang violence in poor neighborhoods. And I think you'll appreciate the candor in which he shares some of his own personal stories in this interview. On the TCast, welcome my friend once again, Charleston White.
My brother just came home 3 days ago from doing 31 years in prison for a murder he committed when he was 17 years old.
Well, congratulations.
Man, 20-something years, I never heard my brother even mention God, and we got a God-fearing mother. I ain't even know if that nigga believed in God. So I knew he would never be free if he couldn't find a way to develop some remorse. And that's between you and God. That has nothing to do with nobody. Ain't got nothing to do with you with the parole board or nothing. That's between you. That's like what you did. You just between you and God. Mm-hmm. Remorse and empathy. So I knew he would never come home if he didn't develop it. My mother, she said that in this life, we overcome everything by the power of our testimony. Because the power of your testimony gives me power. How you got through this? I learned in group sessions as a kid going through therapy, they used to make us relate. That's how they would gauge us. That's how they would grade us in our group participations. Can you relate to these other kids? Your mom left you when you was 5, Charleston. Tell him something. Hey, look out, Jose. Your uncle molested you. Say, George. So they would make the ones who had similar backgrounds relate to one another's story. That's where their strength came from.
Mm-hmm. Not alone.
You're not alone. So we would, when he's telling his life story and he would start crying, you'd be compelled to put your hand on his shoulder. Man, it's all right, man. I understand, too. I felt the same way when my daddy left. The guy next to him said, man, I can't say I understand, man, but I just know. So nobody's doing that to the kids. So the kids growing up angry. If we don't do that to the kids, then they emotions automatically internalizes and they blame themselves, whether that's divorce. And if they don't have an outlet, then now they angry. At least with an outlet on the football field, you can hit, you can punch the bag, you can shoot, you can job, you can work. Without that, and most kids don't have it, you start punching your little sister, kicking holes in the wall, walking by, hitting your grandmama with the shoulder, making intimidating fists at the teacher. Because in your mind, this is what you want to do. You just don't have the weight with the hate. Tupac said, when I get my weight up with my hate, I'm going to pay them back when I'm bigger. When I get my weight up with my hate, pay him back when I'm bigger. When he get 15 and he look like a grown man and he realize he can punch somebody and make him bleed and it make him feel good, he gonna be violent. So you have to, we've taken our eyes off the kids, homie, to argue and squabble over politics and religion and nationalism. We've taken our eyes off the kids.
Amen. Amen. So, yeah, we're making ourselves look like fools
in front of
the kids that are coming
up. That's why they don't believe in us anymore. Shit, they used to believe in us, man. Shit, they don't believe. Hey, yeah, shit. They think none of us know shit.
I think you're doing more for the middle than you think. And maybe you do recognize what you're doing for the middle. Because there's so many of us in populace. But it's almost the only crowd I can go after because I don't have the skill set that you do to be the chameleon, right? Without somebody call me fake because I would be being fake, right?
Yeah.
But there are so many more of us as I try to spread the message also and gather more people that are willing to support this plight that we have, yeah. Right? I think there are more of them that are just less outspoken people because they don't have a platform. And where are they supposed to speak out at? I mean, everything on the news is sensational. What we have to say isn't sensational, it's taming. But it's taming is something that everyone can get along dealing with. It doesn't mean it's not exciting.
That's where I want to take you back to what mom says. Your testimony. Most kids don't know how cool their parents were when they was kids.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. They don't have, because for one, we're not going to tell them the stories. Right? We ain't going to let them know when we was a complete F up. Complete screw up. They're not going to get the irresponsible us. Right? So that's hidden from them. My son never knew I served time for murder till he was almost a teenager. My other homeboy, his kids never know he's been to prison. He got bullet holes. Dad, what's the bullet hole? I've been to war. I got another homeboy. My other partner spent almost 30 years in prison for wrongful conviction in Angola. And he's been out for barely a year. But everywhere he go, he's been in there since he was a kid. So his whole life is talking about prison. My other friend had to tell him, say, man, my kids don't know anything about prison or jail. So could you not talk about that?
Interesting. At a certain age, don't you think it's advantageous to know the truth? I mean, even as a parent, look. The reason why I'm telling you that this is a bad idea is because I experienced the consequences of trying this myself.
It
doesn't always
that.
Work, but
I believe that. Well, because Bob Ray Sanders did a big write up on me, so it's gonna be on the front page of the Fort Worth Star Telegram.
You have to text me, man. I'm gonna get one.
So I had to tell my son about it. I because it's gonna be on the front page, and I was pretty proud about it.
That's awesome.
So I had to tell my son about it. Then he's going to go visit his uncle in prison. I don't think he have a taste for jail or prison.
But part of that is because he has that context from you.
Yeah.
You know people and you've had experience.
I've taken him around those people.
Yeah.
I've let him see a drunk. I let him see a crackhead. I take my son to Stop Six and to the ghetto with me when I do community work. And I let him see these men. Who normally you wouldn't want your children to see. My mother hated the fact that I would have my son and my daughter down at the Classy Lady. My mother hated, man, why would you take them? Because I want to always let him see. You remember such? Is that the kind of man you want to be like? You done seen all these men, son. Successful. You done seen, pick which one you want to be like. You seen dad? So you done had a variety of, you've been exposed to many, many different kind of men. And that kid been working since he was 12 years old. He won't miss work. He don't hang with a group of guys. Man, he make me proud.
That's smart. That's
make
great.
Make me proud, man. Yeah.
That
so
should make, that should. That
yeah,
should
yeah,
make you
yeah.
Proud. There's nothing. No better accomplishment than seeing your lessons manifest in your kids.
Yeah,
man. That's awesome.
And everybody tell me, man. So that's. I believe every parent should do that because what you overcame. Gives them a blueprint to figure out to overcome it for them, yeah. And that you can overcome it. So I believe we go through things not necessarily because God allowed bad things to happen to us. We go through them because God know we're strong enough to get through it, because we're going to go help somebody else get through it and they don't have the strength. You have the strength that they need. So you was able to get through it because God knew you were strong enough. He couldn't stop the situation because he can't come down here and change it.
And but you're the only one that can testify to that, because the ones that didn't make through it can't testify.
Yeah.
You know, so that is important.
So it's a lot of people, they're going to battle with drug addiction to the day they die because of what happened to them as children. Not what happened to them as adults. Not what happened to them as adults.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting perspective. I used to try to tell my kid, I mean, it's ultimately you would love to think, hey, I went through this experience and I survived and it's something that inspires them. But you know as well as I do, yeah. Sometimes kids have to try it for themselves and figure things out. But I kept saying, man, if you took like a sci-fi themed movie and said, all right, just how cool would it be if you had an opportunity to go back in time and talk to your 12-year-old self and give yourself advice and everything else, and think of how convincing that would be versus having some old man or dad or whatever.
That's, I was a kid, you know, till I seen colors. I was about 11 or 12 years old. I got glimpses of the street life. Uncle Wayne walking back through. And he gone.
Yeah.
Going over, ain't beating him house, looking outside the window, seeing two guys. Like, hey, y'all get out cold door. And it's gone. So I got glimpses of it. I never got to see it. I never got to see the streets until I got grown. I went in the boys' home at 14. I still had to go home before the street lights went in. My mama didn't play. I had to run away from home to go do what my homeboys did. I couldn't steal nothing and come in the house with nothing that my mother didn't buy. Boy, where you get that from? She was on us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mama, these Patrick shoes, take them back right now. Matter of fact, come on, we finna take them back right now. Because she not taking, I couldn't sell a key of dope and go help my mother pay her rent up. She wouldn't take the money. I would have to pretend like I got a job and leave it on the dresser somewhere for my little sister. But my mama wouldn't take it if she knew I wouldn't have a job.
That's that integrity. She wouldn't go into politics, no. Maybe? So that's who we need, right?
Yeah.
She might do one
she
term.
She went in foster care. But... She went to Lena Pope Home CPS foster care. So my mother was a foster care parent.
Oh, that's awesome.
For 20-something years after she retired from General Motors.
Wow.
And she got into that going to go... find my aunt who lost her 5 kids to the CPS system. So my mom went in and relocated all 5 of them kids who had been separated due to my aunt's drug addiction and adopted them, which were her nieces, and adopted them. When my mama brought them babies back into the family, my aunt had the strength to get off drugs and change her life completely. And my mother gave her back her kids.
There's the testimony. There's the strength of her testimony.
Yeah.
Man, she's a superstar.
Yeah, that's what her prayers is what got me through the foolishness. I rejected everything this woman tried to teach me. I thought she ain't know what the fuck she was talking about. Man, that God shit ain't real. Man, she beat me with everything I put up against her. All of my bullshit, man, she beat me with just let me see her live what she was trying to preach to me.
Mm-hmm.
I never seen a man come out of a bedroom. I ain't never seen my mother drunk. I never heard her say nothing bad about my father. I ain't never heard her cuss nobody out. She never, when we was wrong and she went down to the police station, she say, you tell these people the truth. Did you do it? And if you lied, she gonna hit you across your head in front of the police.
Yeah.
So, man, we was forced. My mother was, she was doing everything in her power. And then she still had to go to work. So when she went to work, all the shit that she said is canceled out because there's no reinforcement. There's no reinforcement. So she, when she coming home to reinforce, she got to go to sleep. Yeah. She can't whoop ass.
I'm giving you the rope to hang yourself with. Yeah.
So, but she's learning. You know, at this time, I remember vividly when the word and the concept tough love began to be spread out in the counseling world. Mama would come home with this tough love talk. Start saying no. 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 Man, we didn't understand that language. We was far kids. But she was growing up too. She was changing. And she was seeing that the parenting that she's been doing, trying to give us everything that she didn't have to make up for her not being there, for having to work so much, trying to make life good for us. And we're unappreciative. We're ungrateful.
Yeah.
We think she's supposed to do this. And so she's having to take off work to come to court, take off work to enroll us in alternative school. So we made it difficult for her to have to parent us. I didn't have to do none of that shit, man. Yeah. And I could make good grades. And that's all mama required, man. Just go to school and make good grades and good citizenship. Don't bring me no good grades without no good citizenship, boy. So I used to pride myself before I got gangster and having straight E's. I was a great kid, man.
That's a great thing to focus on, too, at a young age. That's
I used to pride myself.
Yeah.
And having E's, excellence. Yes, ma'am. That's why I could get out of trouble when I started getting in trouble. I was a charismatic kid with good manners.
Yeah.
And I can get in front of the judge and I can get the probation officer lady by herself and charm her to death. Until my mama come in and tell her, now listen, the boys, you know, mama go come in and help everybody to me because she want the best for me.
Yeah.
She want to make sure this is the best person for me.
She wants when accountability for you.
Yeah. So when I go visit my brother now, he's on a leg monitor. He can't leave the house. My brother, 49 years old. He left when he was 17. He's 48, about to be 49. He's 17 again with mama. Boy, she on him right. Boy, he can't leave her eyesight. She watching his ass. Where you going? Who you talking to? Who is this coming to see you? Mama, but she looking over everything.
He's got to appreciate her motivation, though, man. Yeah. Please don't go through that again, man. Yeah, congratulations, so, by the way. That's,
yeah,
that's
I'm going to take
awesome,
you to go meet
man.
Him, man. Yeah, you got to go meet him.
I would love to go meet him. Would love to, man.
So this is what I had to learn. As good as mama was, she could have had daddy there. It still take a village. It still takes a village. When the kids down the street busting bottles and windows and putting tires on flat, it takes somebody to say, hey, y'all cut that shit out. Tell your goddamn dad on you, boy. I don't give a fuck. Don't tell your mama. It you have to correct children.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not, hey, Jimmy, you guys quit doing that. They run over the teacher. The teacher that can't say, boy, sit your ass down somewhere. Mm. Kind of pinch him a little bit and, boy, if you don't stop. Them teachers don't have no problem. The teacher who don't have the wherewithal to reach the kid past the rules without breaking the rules in order to connect with the pain. The pain don't allow the kid to consistently follow rules. Because some days I ain't in pain. Some days mama washed clothes and we woke up this morning. I had clean socks, clean underwear. I took a bath last night and I got donuts this morning. So I'm soothed for the day. I'm not in pain. Come back tomorrow, mama and stepdaddy might have been fighting. I fell asleep on the floor. Mama and them came in from the club. I woke up and went and got in the bed. Couldn't go back to sleep. Fell back asleep about 5 o'clock. Woke up late. Come to school, my school uniform shirt ain't here. Now I'm in trouble for not having a school uniform shirt. Now I got a smart mouth. Now, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we punish the kid based on the condition that they coming out of according to who the mom and daddy is. Let the mom and daddy come up there and they seem uneducated, ignorant, cursing. The kid gonna take the brunt of that. Well, I learned to make it work for my son. I would enroll my son in the school and play like the ignorant black father who don't care nothing about education. And they helped that boy get all the way through. Man, I don't give a damn about school. I'm just doing it. I want the boy to drop out to be a dumb mechanic. And man, them white, they used to look at me crazy. My scum been in all white schools. I would play the ignorant nigga father with gold teeth, don't care nothing about nothing, coming in there with the coveralls, the long dread, acting like I don't care about education. But you know, I was using reverse psychology tactics.
Yeah, because you would be actually the unicorn, because these days the principal can't even call home to report anything because they're going to get such a defensive parent.
Well, those are my relatives. Every time I go over relative house, they're telling me about Junior done got in trouble at school and it's always the school and teacher fault. I said, man, y'all fucking this boy up. No accountability.
No kidding. That's, man.
No accountability.
It's rampant. They literally feel like they're stuck between a rock and a hard place because they can't really report it. They just have to either eat it or make amends in some other way, because they know if they call the parents, it's going to be worse. And then they're going to have to go in front of everyone with their tail
tucked between their legs. For the most part, my mother knew we was going to lie. Yeah, for the most part, I was going to come home and say, mama, that teacher racist. Mama, that teacher don't like me. Then that was the line every year, every class. So my mama started knowing her kids. Well, how do you know your kids? You used to be a lying MF. You used to steal. Your chromosome, when you look at your children, and there's something about them that you don't like and you don't displease, just understand they got it from you. It's your chromosome and his chromosomes. So my mama knows certain things that go come with these two boys here. At first, when they get in trouble, they're going to start out lying. Once you go to pressing them with questions and catching them, then they'll come out and tell the truth. But I ain't believing nothing off the bat. I started learning that my kids are a lot of me, too.
Yeah.
I had to learn that my mother loved me way more than I love her. I had to learn that my son don't love me more than I love him. He'll tell me a lie to get out of trouble.
Yeah. That used to be one of my main rules that I felt like was effective with my son. If no matter what he did not matter the extent of the offense, if he didn't lie about it, it'd always be a lesser punishment. And at the time, my son's grown. So we're talking about, you know, when he was little,
yeah,
there were still spankings. We're still okay.
Yeah, they were far and few in between.
It was absolutely a 0% chance you're going to ever get a spanking ever, as long as you're telling the truth. And that sucker worked for a long time.
You know what made me stop showing out in school with the teachers? I did it all the way up into high school, but I started looking for the one with the right spirit and just saying, man, hey, man, I'm a single dad struggling. I'm just trying to get the boy through school. I don't care if he drop out at this point. And I really had that mindset. And I coerced my son into dropping out. When he lost interest in school, when he was in middle school, I said, oh, man, it ain't nothing wrong with being a dumb mechanic. Go on, drop out. So I went and enrolled him in school and let him hang out with me for a week, riding around, doing nothing. Then that next week, I would wake him up at 5 o'clock in the morning and take him to my homeboy mechanic shop in Forest Hill and drop him off. Go to work, son. And come back and get him at 5 or 6 o'clock. By the end of that week, he wanted to go back to school.
One day.
He said it didn't feel good waking up doing nothing. Sitting around doing nothing. It didn't feel good. So he went and got back in school. I told him, I don't care if he pass or fail. Just go to school and make right choices and decisions and get good citizenship. I don't care about your grades.
Well, the grades will come if you're making good choices. And the citizenship means you're paying attention.
Well, just because you're failing don't mean you're dumb. You're just not interested in what they're trying to teach you.
Exactly.
He went and learned everything on the job and excelling in the work world before he graduated. So I noticed every job he went to, he excelled, got promotions, and he never missed work. Well, I'm a guy, go call in and look for every reason in the world not to get up and go to work. That's the opposite of me. So I would teach him a work ethic. I had him cutting grass early, going to work with my friends because I can't teach him a work ethic. So I would send him with my friends who had a job and go, man, they can show you, son. Daddy can't show you. So one day, I'm sitting in the office with the principal being an asshole because I'm frustrated and angry as a single father. And they wanted me to do something. And my son heard me tell the principal that I'm a poor single father. My son was probably 11 12 years old, about to go into adolescence, but he's starting to come into the knowing of kind of life.
Consciousness, yeah.
Poor? This generation of kids hearing that they're poor? We stand in a one-bedroom apartment, me, him, and his sister. I'm sleeping on the floor, the sister in the bed, he on the couch. I'm getting food stamps and disability. And I'm driving a Good Times van that my son was ashamed to get dropped off in school in. Looked like Scooby-Doo them van.
Oh, man. Those things are awesome.
Like a motherfucker. I swear I was, man. I want one now again.
The teardrop window? Come on.
And that was donated to me by a Republican candidate, Albert McDaniels, a petroleum engineer. So I'm in here talking to this principal, really wanting to cry, man, because I'm financially messed up. She heard me and my son, when we got to the car, my son looked at me and said, "Dad, are we really poor?" The tears in his eyes. I couldn't even look at him. But I made myself look at him. And I said, "Yeah, mijo."
You told him the truth. That's hey.
I said, "Yeah. That did something to me. Because here I am helping all the kids around the country, man, in facilities, man. And I can't help my kids. I can't go get a job because who going to be picking them up and taking them to school, getting them out this? So I can't even get a job because who going to do this?" So when I said, "Yeah, mijo, we're really poor," this where the motivation came, because I didn't know where to get it from because it wasn't in me no more.
And you saw that he was hurt by that. You didn't appreciate it, but it's fascinating to know that
this he didn't he said
even
to
know.
Me.
He didn't even know.
He didn't know.
I mean, you know,
he looked at me and said, "Is there anything that you can do about it?" He put something off in me with that question. This little boy, 11-year-old little boy with tears in his eye, realizing his daddy is poor. I'm no longer a hero at this point.
Yeah.
Nah, man, when the kids know, but they don't know, they're not supposed to know. Grandmother and Mud Hill and them had 16 kids, and them kids never knew they were poor because they never missed a meal. The lights stayed on. The house was clean. Right. They never knew.
Right.
Kids aren't supposed to be aware. Here it is. He got this awareness. And I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to not be poor other than selling drugs. I dropped out of college to work with kids. I thought this was going to get me the position that I need. I was going and I was just a poor man helping kids with no rewards, seemed like. I wasn't looking for rewards. I was looking for a better position in life. Thinking, "Okay, God, I'm doing right now. I found my purpose. It's going to get better." As many a times I wanted to go back home and pimp, try to play on the broad.
See, but right then, the bag dropped from overhead. And you have to put your own mask on first before you can help your son or help anyone else's son, right? You got to take care of yourself to know that you're going into these situations healthy.
The kid said, confident. "Is there anything that you can do about it?"
That's profound.
You know what my reply was? "Yeah, mijo. Every day I try to." But I was lying. I was trying to help other kids. Not help my kids. I didn't know how to ask for money for what I did. So a lot of people use, "Hey, come here, man. Let's do this, man. You got some program. Let me see your program. We might." So they would get my programs, and I was so gullible, I would give them the whole programs instead of just snippets of it. So once they get the program, I don't hear back from them. They go get the
program. They don't need you anymore.
Hey, but I didn't know.
I learned that lesson hard.
Man,
too.
I didn't know, man. I was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
You think everyone's got integrity. Come on now.
Once you leave the streets and cross over to this side of the street, which is the right side, man, these are good people over here. You can trust everybody, man. No, man, this is not the streets.
It's a different kind of liar over there.
So when he said that, man, and my reply was, "Yeah, every day." I warred within until I can just find a way to figure it out. And I had to figure it out at this point for him before my daughter become aware.
How did you end up launching into this? Is that the point where you transitioned into what you're doing now?
That's where the start transition. So I started trying to, I still have the words of Bart LeBeau, the executive director of the Annie Casey Foundation. I still have his words ringing in my ear. I still have the Baltimore, Maryland Jewish attorney who told me, Charleston, you have to figure out a way to become self-sustainable. I still have the words of the white man from the Texas Juvenile Justice Department who said, Charleston, man, you got to put some business with this. If you don't put no business with your passion, you're going to get burnt out. Well, people are telling me this, but man, I don't know how. I'm just a passion-driven guy that done discovered my purpose, and I'm a fool for the purpose. Hey, man, Charleston, how much would you charge to do a speaking engagement? Well, I'll do a $500 honorarium fee. Well, man, we just got a $150 gas card. Oh, okay, I'll take it because I just want to go pour into the children.
Yeah.
But I done drove 4 hours away. Right. You see what I'm saying? So I just wanted to do the work. And so I told Pops, I said, man, Pops, well, man, I don't want no money because I'm afraid if I get some money, I still got some street residue in me. I haven't been completely cleansed of the streets. What if I get a bunch of money and quit working with the kids and go back to the streets? So I was scared of money to a certain degree because I thought I would go back. I wasn't ready.
You didn't think you were ready.
I didn't think I was ready. But my heart was in the right place. Every day I would realign with the purpose. I would redefine in the mirror who I am so I keep making right choices. And then I leave out the door.
What's it take? What you gonna what do? What you gonna do? Success around the sandbox with second grade rules. A confident fake to make you do.
Make you do
what they want when they want. A diplomatic face is the one to see you through. And don't let those bigots take you off your game, but just to let them lose.